You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, how you doing?
Jeff, I'm doing well. We are back from the weekend, and we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, definitely a news-filled weekend, which is kind of nice to finally have news to talk about, even though not all of the news is great. Some of it is positive, some of it's negative, some of it's more neutral, but we have stuff to talk about. So today we're going to talk about kind of some stuff from around the league that's less Dodger specific. Mike Trout, the A's testing snafu, maybe a couple other things. We're going to talk about the Dodgers signing their last two draft picks, and then we're going to talk about the big stuff, which is David Price and Kenley Jansen and AJ Pollock and stuff along those lines, COVID related. But first, I want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, let's start non-Dodger related first. I have three things on my list. First of all, Andrew Baggerly tweeted out a picture of Pablo Sandoval. And he didn't mention Sandoval's physical condition in the tweet. He mentioned Sandoval's throwing arm because Sandoval is coming off Tommy John surgery. Sandoval's physical condition seemed to be the main takeaway from the photo. It was not a flattering picture for sure. But as someone who has looked about like that in pictures and even worse, it seems like maybe Pablo Sandoval's current physical condition could be described as impossible to take a flattering picture. Would you say that, Vince?
Something along those lines, maybe.
Yeah. I did think it's funny. You know, you know my stance on Bartolo Colon. You've accused me of being anti-fun. I think it's funny that Sandoval gets nothing but criticism for his weight. Well, Colon, who was once suspended for PEDs, cheated on his wife, has secret families, and hasn't been good in a decade, is universally beloved and condescendingly called Big Sexy. So maybe Sandoval just needs to get himself a condescending nickname, and then everybody will like him. What do you think?
Yeah, Bartolo has issues off the field, but I think Pablo Sandoval's on field, having a big contract and not living up to it, I think he kind of gets the brunt end of that.
Maybe, yeah, although it's not his fault the Red Sox gave him that money. Yeah. I mean, I guess kind of his fault for playing really well leading up to that contract. But, yeah, and Bartolo looks like a toad, you know. But, yeah, Pablo got a lot of grief for that. And, you know, he's never been super slim. He's had better condition at times in his career. But we'll see if he can get into playing shape. Only time will tell. Somebody who is always in playing shape but might not be able to play is Mike Trout. I kind of joked a week or two, not joked, but suggested, but not seriously, that Trout might opt out because his wife is pregnant. And he kind of floated that possibility this weekend that that he's not sure he's comfortable playing this season.
Yeah, that would, you know, I think if he wasn't Mike Trout, he might have already opted out. I think he understands how much pull he has in the league without, you know, really trying. And I think he knows he's one of the stars of the league, and he knows that he may have to give this some extra thought and some real thought before he makes a decision. You know, we've seen him out. We've seen a lot of guys out on the field not wearing masks. There's that the picture of him going around wearing a mask, rounding third base or second base, whatever it was. So, you know, I think that he has a lot going on for him that's making it a difficult decision. I know, you know, I've talked to people and made fun of Angel fans that I know, saying Angels aren't a playoff team, so you know he can relax and enjoy the time and make sure his kid is born all right. But at the end of the day, he is, like I said, the biggest star in baseball in terms of talent. Maybe not the biggest star in terms of actual starness, I guess, whatever the word is. But yeah, he's got a lot to think about, and there's real, can't really fault him for going either way.
Yeah, there's been a little criticism of him because he did join in the Players United front of Tell Us When and Where a few weeks ago. And so there's been some people criticizing for that, calling him a hypocrite. And I understand those criticisms. I yelled at Rob Manfred for negotiating in bad faith last week. But so I guess to be fair to both sides, you could accuse Trout of not being in good faith if he said, tell me when and where, and then said, oh, and by the way, I'm not going to play. But that, conditions have changed a lot. It's been 3 weeks or whatever since Trout said when and where, and, the COVID conditions have changed. The death rate has continued to go down, which is awesome. But actual cases are at least staying steady and in a lot of places spreading, getting larger. And so, maybe it's a different risk calculus, I guess, he has. We also don't know his wife's, if there's been any changes in her pregnancy. No indication there have been, but, so much can change over time, especially when they're having their first kid. A lot of things are new to them, so... things can change, and if Trout chooses to opt out, I mean, this will be a theme in today when we get to talking about David Price, but, that's his right, and not just his right, but it's his responsibility. I'm a father and a husband, and there is no way in the world I would put my family's health at risk for my job, regardless of what my job was or how well I got paid to do it or anything. Family comes first, and so... I'm on board with whatever he chooses to do, but it would be a bummer just from a baseball standpoint if Mike Trout doesn't play this year.
Just like we'll say with David Price later, from a baseball standpoint, it sucks, but there's no reason or really justified way of shaming anyone for not playing this year.
One last non-Dodgers thing, the Oakland A's still have not been able to start working out because their COVID tests are still sitting in San Francisco, waiting to be shipped to Salt Lake to the lab where they're being tested. The article by Alex Coffey says, that just came out this evening, Sunday evening, says that they're due to arrive in Utah at 1:30 a.m. The memo from the A's owner just says 1:30 Mountain Time. So I don't know for sure, because then he says if they can get them turned around in a few hours, then maybe we can have a workout tomorrow night. So that seems to me like maybe that's 1:30 p.m. Because 1:30 p.m. is 12:30 in Oakland. And a few hours, so that would be, 3 or 4 p.m. California time. So it seems like if they could get them turned around in a few hours, they could shoot for an early afternoon workout, not an evening workout. So it might be even worse. But, the A's claim it's not their fault, that it's MLB's fault. And that might be true. But it sure is an A's thing, isn't it?
Maybe they put the wrong postage on or didn't put enough postage. We've known the A's to be penny pinchers in the past. But, it sucks for them. And in this shortened spring training, it kind of can become a disadvantage a little bit for them and an advantage for everyone else that's going to play them.
Yeah, they said it's because of the 4th of July. If only there was some way to know that the 4th of July was coming up so they could have planned around that. But, yeah. All right, we'll come back and talk about some actual Dodger news in a minute. But first, let's talk about Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is a family-owned business providing auto parts to people online for 20 years. And basically, here's how it works. You have a car. You need a part for your car. Your options are drive down to the auto parts store, walk into an auto parts store with your mask on, and hope you can find the part. Most likely, you can't because they don't carry... you can find a generic part, but not the actual part you need. So... you go up to the counter, you say, hey, can you order me in this part? And they're like, sure. we'll order it online and that'll be like $6,000. And you're like, dude, that sucks. And you're like, I know, but you know, we got to pay for our rent at this place. Well, you could do that, or you could just go to rockauto.com, look it up, find the part you need. Hey, look, I didn't have to put my mask on or anything because I'm in the privacy of my own home. You order your part and like, hey, this costs a lot less than it would have too. Wow, talk about a win-win. I'm so glad I went to Rock Auto. And moreover, I'm glad I listened to Locked On Dodgers where they told me to go to Rock Auto. So if you need auto parts, if that story sounded super familiar, go to rockauto.com. And there's a little field where they say, hey, how'd you hear about rockauto.com? And write in, I listened to Locked On Dodgers and they told me about it. And, you know, then buy your stuff and fix your car. You know, it's not that hard. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. And keep it Locked On Dodgers. All right, Vince, you ready for an obscure former Dodger?
I'm ready.
That's good because I'm ready to give you one. I was thinking about the next thing we're going to talk about, which is the Dodgers signed their last two draft picks, one of whom is named Clayton. And so I got to thinking, huh, we know about Clayton Kershaw. We know Clayton Richard never played for the Dodgers. Thank goodness, that guy's a jerk. But I thought, have there been other Claytons? So I was just looking at other Claytons who've played for the Dodgers, and not much in first name Clayton. But I found a guy whose middle name is Clayton and his first name is Jeff, even though he spells it wrong. His name is Jeffrey Clayton Zahn. Jeff Zahn, Geoff Zahn, pitched for the Dodgers as a rookie in 1973, 1974, and then part of 1975. He actually pitched. He didn't make the postseason roster for the Dodgers in 74. But then the Dodgers traded him to the Cubs in 1975. Maybe his most notable contribution to the Dodgers was being traded to the Cubs in a one-for-one deal for Bert Hooton, who ended up being, two-for-one, with Eddie Solomon for Bert Hooton. Bert Hooton ended up being a big contributor to the Dodgers for a long time, 10 years, was a great pitcher for the Dodgers, including one World Series winning team and two World Series losing teams. But Jeff Zahn... My main memory of Jeff Zahn is when I started collecting baseball cards in 1984, his 1984 Topps card, he was on the Angels, and that 84 Topps, it had the action picture, and then down in the bottom left corner, it had the headshot picture. And I remember looking at Jeff Zahn and thinking, that guy's not an athlete. That guy is an accountant. And he definitely looks like an accountant. Yeah, he just was goofy looking, but he pitched for 13 years, even though he didn't make it to the big leagues till he was almost 28 years old. But yeah, pitched for 13 years, two and a half for the Dodgers, then a year and a half with the Cubs, a few years with the Twins, and then the last 5 years of his career with the California Angels. Retired with a 111 and 109 record and a 374 ERA. And that's Jeff Zahn. You have any Jeff Zahn thoughts, Vince?
I got zero Jeff Zahn thoughts, but... That way of spelling Jeff always intrigued me.
Yeah, freaking Geoffs. Spell it right. All right, let's talk about some less obscure current Dodgers and future Dodgers. Let's talk about the future Dodgers. The Dodgers had signed four of their six draft picks, and this weekend they signed the last two, who were maybe the two most exciting ones. I don't know, Bobby Miller's pretty exciting, but Jake Vogel, the high school speedster, and then Clayton Beter, who future Dodgers told us was the most likely to make an immediate impact on the team. They signed both of them this weekend. Vogel maybe Friday or Saturday, and then Beter just on Sunday afternoon or evening, which is pretty exciting, right, Vince?
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, those were the last two we were waiting for. As you said, the ones that were more exciting in general. We felt that it wasn't going to be an issue because they went under slot on almost everyone else, so they had a little bit of extra money if that's what it took. Just happy that it's all said and done. This year's going to be kind of a lost year, but at least unless they put a couple of these guys with the remaining spots they have. But exciting to get those guys into the organization, and you know, just as excited as we were after they drafted them and after future Dodgers told us how great they were.
Yeah, and you know, we had seen a report early before the original 60-man or 51-man list came out that Bobby Miller and Landon Knack were both going to be on that. They're not yet, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them added, and perhaps Clayton Beter also. They did add AJ Ramos this weekend to that 60-man list to the bullpen. Was that after we last talked, Vince?
No, we talked about AJ Ramos.
We talked about Ramos? Okay, that's right. So they're probably at 52 guys right now. Actually, back down to 51. So let's jump into that, I guess. David Price has opted out of playing this season. This one, it surprised me, but only because I realized we don't really know much about David Price's personal life or his, he's just kind of a quiet guy. And maybe people who followed him his whole career know more about his life. And, but you know, like, Clayton Kershaw, we know everything about his family and stuff, you know, and David Price is just like, I don't really know much about him. And so, when I heard that he was opting out, I wasn't surprised that somebody was opting out, but the fact that it was David Price caught me a little bit off guard.
Yeah, I think more so the fact of him opting out, not that he would be someone that wouldn't opt out. Like, you know, he's an not outspoken, but he's been outspoken, and he's, you know, never afraid to speak his mind, especially on social media too. So, you know, a guy that probably wouldn't be afraid of opting out. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely a shocker, definitely a surprise, especially since a couple hours earlier, Dave Roberts had just said that he didn't expect anyone to opt out, and they've, you know, had continued conversations with everyone. It was reported that Price showed up on Wednesday and still wasn't sure yet, and then, you know, had talks with his family or whoever he needed to talk to, then ultimately made the decision. You know, on the front of, like I said earlier, on the front of him opting out, you know, no shame, no anything like that. We wish him the best, and he, you know, he made a decision based on whatever's going on in his life, and how he went about it is his own decision. But just on a baseball side, and especially Dodgers side, it sucks. You know, I was looking forward to seeing him pitch. He was healthy. He looked good in the spring for a little bit. He was going to slot in, you know, not expected to carry the burden of a pitching staff anymore, you know, kind of slot in the three spot and see what he can go and see what he can get out of it. So on that side, it sucks. On the Dodgers side, it still sucks, but, you know, they have the depth to recover from this, which we'll get into a little bit right now. But yeah, I was looking forward to watching David Price this year, and then now we'll have to wait one more year to watch him in action.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and again, like I said with Trout, the personal and family comes before baseball in a situation like this. And so we're going to talk about the baseball implications, but again, let's reiterate that we 100% support this and, you know, totally understand, even if we don't necessarily know the details of what led him to make this decision, we support him in this decision. From a baseball standpoint, like you said, the Dodgers are more equipped than most teams to deal with a guy of David Price's caliber opting out, because the Dodgers had at least 8 starting pitchers, and that's if you don't count Jimmy Nelson or Caleb Ferguson as starters. They were already going to be bumping Ross Stripling and Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin out of starting roles, and now it looks like, you know, I don't know for sure, but at least Ross Stripling will get a chance to battle for that spot and maybe have the leg up. He is a former All-Star starter, and maybe will be more built up than those other guys. Stripling said that he plans on being ready to throw 6 innings on opening day. And Ross had some stuff to say, which is, you know, we've had Ross on this show. He's the nicest guy, just so friendly and easygoing. But it seems like maybe he's been masking a little bit of frustration. He said he was frustrated in spring training part one that he didn't get much of a shot to make the rotation. And that's after an offseason in which he was traded and then not traded. And just, you know, kind of been, I don't know if jerked around is quite the right word. He said he found out from the media that he wasn't going to really have a shot at the rotation back in March. Which is a little interesting because Dave Roberts is kind of famously good as a player's manager. And so Roberts seems like one of the last ones you would expect to let something like that happen. But what do you think about Ross's comments kind of speaking out about his situation?
Yeah, I mean, he's 100% right. He didn't get a fair shake. I do believe the Dodgers take advantage of him being such a great guy and such a team guy a little bit. Regardless of what happened toward the end of 2018, you know, Stripling was, like I said, an All-Star, and he's always done well in pretty much any role he's been put in ever since he came up. Even, you know, everyone loves him and everything like that, but like I said, I think he definitely could have deserved a little more. You know, maybe I'm not sure if he was 100% on board with even the Alex Wood signing, which, you know, as a competitor, I would imagine, you know, you don't really want someone to come in that's essentially was given the role, didn't even have to really fight for it or anything. And yeah, finding out through the media, you know, he's a big guy who is kind of part of the media with, you know, his podcast, and he's always welcome to hop on other podcasts or whatever. And he talked about that a little bit. And then, you know, Justin Turner had the talks with, even with all the trade stuff, when, you know, he thought he was going to get traded to the Angels, and, you know, he never really heard too much or whatever he heard through the media. So he's a guy that I'm glad he's speaking out. You know, he said he had no issue with Friedman or Roberts. It was just kind of a communication thing, you know, so hopefully those guys reassure him and kind of put it out there that, you know, that's not how things are always going to work, or they maybe apologize or whatever it is. But yeah, hopefully he can get this and run with it. You know, Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin are there. Dustin May, like we talked about last week, short season, not really any barriers to him pitching as much as possible. Technically, he probably has more talent, but Stripling's a little bit more proven. And at this point, he's already stretched out. I mean, he said he'll be ready to go six innings by the time the opening day gets here. So let's see what he got and throw him in there. And I'm completely fine with that and keeping May kind of in a relief / late inning role, depending what comes about. Because, you know, in this kind of short season, they're just going to throw everything at it and go for the World Series and not really worry about anything else.
Yeah, and one thing to remember about Ross Stripling that kind of gets lost in all this stuff sometimes is that he is a really, really good pitcher. And that's something that, you know, because he's kind of willing to do everything, he's bounced between the rotation and the bullpen and stuff. But in his career as a starter, I mean, he's got a 3.71 ERA, which is like really solid, especially for a number five starter. I would guess that if he comes into the season as the number five starter, I would assume that he's the best number five starter in baseball, probably at least top two or three. I mean, that's just that depth. And when you, like you said, you look at May and Gonsolin waiting in the wings, it's, I mean, the Dodgers have literally seven active starting pitchers who would be in most teams top three in the rotation, which is just bonkers.
And everyone kind of gets pushed up a little bit. It'll be interesting to see, you know, Buehler and Julio were two of the ones who, you know, weren't going to be ready to go multiple innings or too many innings at the beginning. Stripling, Wood, and Kershaw were. So they, you know, they might get, I don't know how they'll split it up, but, you know, May and Gonsolin may just get those piggybacks after those guys or however they're going to handle it. So it'll be interesting to see how the innings kind of play out. Dodgers depth, I mean, Ross Stripling, I don't think any other team has a number five starter who's been an all-star in the last two seasons. And, you know, that's just a credit to everyone in the organization and Andrew Friedman. And like I said, Stripling's maybe got a little bit of short end of the stick, and maybe this is what, you know, gets him that time that he deserves again, like he did in 2018, took advantage of an opportunity and turned it into an all-star appearance. And then this offseason turned it into a little cash and, you know, was one of the ones that got that payment in advance. So he already been paid for this season and he hasn't even pitched yet.
Yep. Moving on, somebody who may be getting an opportunity, maybe a guy like Pedro Baez or Blake Treinen or Bruce Dar-Gratterall or someone, because suddenly there's a little bit of uncertainty about Kenley Jansen. Kenley Jansen is not in camp yet, and Dave Roberts said he's not at liberty to say why. And, you know, I've been trying to think. Michael Whitman on Twitter mentioned the possibility of, well, maybe because Kenley's heart issues, maybe he just wants to wait until everybody's test results are back, and so he knows everybody in camp doesn't have COVID before he shows up. But, you know, and so I've been thinking about possibilities like that, but Robert saying he's not at liberty to say why really makes all of those hard for me to believe, because The only thing I can think of that Roberts wouldn't be at liberty to say is something that would violate HIPAA to say. And, you know, it seems like Roberts would go out of his way to say it's not COVID if it wasn't COVID, don't you think?
Normally I would agree with that, but I think, you know, maybe he's just going to say that every time someone's not in camp from now on, you know, and we're going to assume what we want to assume anyways, but maybe that's just going to be the standard practice for answers. And that way we don't ever really know what exactly is going on. You know, Jansen, we know he's, I don't know if he's deemed necessarily high risk in terms of MLB, but, you know, he has had those heart issues and everything else. We haven't really seen anything that would say that, you know, he had it. But like I said, maybe he's thinking about it. Maybe his test results got delayed. You know, whatever it is, whatever it was, we'll just wait and see. But, yeah, I mean, pretty much the rest of the year, anytime we hear something like that, we're just going to assume that they have it or have symptoms or something to that extent.
Yeah. And so, you know, hopefully it's not. And like we said last week, it's going to be a tricky thing figuring out what to say or whatever. Roberts did say that he hopes to see Kenley soon in camp. He also said the same thing about AJ Pollock, who also is not reported yet. Pollock, his wife had their baby prematurely. There's plenty of reason to think that Pollock might end up choosing to opt out. He's one that we've talked about before and as a possibility. But he also, that explanation of waiting to make sure there's nobody with COVID in camp makes a lot of sense for Pollock, even if he's not thinking about opting out or thinking about but hasn't decided to opt out. But you could see him not wanting to be in camp until he's sure that everybody's clean.
Yeah, his makes a little more sense. You know, Jansen was already working out at Dodger Stadium, and regardless of, I don't know if those guys were getting tested or not, but, you know, he's already kind of put himself in that kind of situation. Obviously, there's a lot more guys now, but, you know, they're trying to keep it where it's safe. But Pollock has a whole different thing. You know, he has, like I said, the premature daughter. They were in the hospital pretty much every day for like 2 months or something, whatever it was, or even maybe still now. I'm not entirely sure of the situation. But he has a genuine reason to kind of sit out this season. And, you know, I know for him as a player and as a competitor, you know, the way he went out last season, sitting out this season, it wouldn't be the way that he wants to go about it. But it might be what's best for him. And, you know, obviously the Dodgers aren't going to pressure him, but there may be a couple maybe not. The Dodgers have enough depth. If AJ Pollock ends up not playing the day before opening day, the Dodgers would still be fine. But it could potentially open up to some other thoughts. You know, Yasiel Puig's free agent. I don't think that's going to happen. But there might be some other guys that they might want to bring in. Or maybe like a guy like Terrence Gore ends up getting that roster spot and kind of going down on the bottom of the list and pushing everyone else up the list a little bit.
Yeah, the reason I have a hard time seeing Puig being an option is just because Puig and his reverse splits the last several years.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to be a platoon partner with Jock Peterson because neither of them can hit lefties. And so as much as I love the idea of bringing Puig back on a nostalgic level, it doesn't seem like he's a fit, especially when you've got Chris Taylor, who is currently a man without a position and kind of could slot right into that platoon with Jock thing in the outfield. But yeah, for Pollock, again, there's so much that would be understandable. Like, at this point, I'd be surprised if he doesn't opt out. I'm just kind of penciling him in my mind as an opt-out until we hear otherwise. Because, you know, it is the father in me. But yeah, there's no way I'd be playing if I was in AJ Pollock's situation, I don't think.
Yeah, and only he and his family can make that decision. And obviously, he has our support, and he'll have the Dodgers' support in whatever he decides.
Yep, it is the official stance of Locked On Dodgers that David Price and Kenley Jansen and AJ Pollock have our support in any decisions they choose to make for themselves or their families. I think that's it. You got anything else, Vince?
No. It's nice to be back talking about Dodger baseball. Although, like I said, not every topic was the greatest to talk about, but regardless, we have stuff to talk about. and probably going to have stuff to talk about the rest of the way because, you know, unless something crazy happens and it ends up getting stopped, they're going to be working out every day and then they'll start playing. Oh, that's the other thing. The Dodgers are supposedly get the schedule tomorrow being Monday, so you guys will see it later on today. But the Dodgers are supposed to be playing the Giants on the 23rd as part of two games that'll be shown, Yankees, Nationals, Dodgers, Giants, and then everyone starts the next day. So starting off with the Giants, always fun.
Yeah, and that's what it was supposed to be this year anyway, so that's good. Oh, one other thing we didn't mention, officially the All-Star Game has been postponed to 2022 because they've already given it to Atlanta for next year. I don't know if this is the official position of Locked On Dodgers. It's definitely the official position of Jeff Snyder that's a load of crap. They ought to have 2021 because guess what? COVID screwed up a lot of things, Atlanta. Push it back a year. But the one solace I'm taking is that I'm not totally convinced that next year's not going to get screwed with a little bit because of COVID too. And so the only thing worse than having this year's All-Star Game canceled, you know, in the realm of All-Star Game stuff, obviously there's worse things, but would be to have it canceled 2 years in a row. So 2022, hopefully the world will be normal by then, and the Dodgers will be done paying for their stadium renovations with the blood of season ticket holders. And so that is that news. And I think with that, we're done for today, right?
Correct.
All right. Thank you all for listening to Locked On Dodgers. We really appreciate it. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, go ahead and subscribe there. So it helps other people find us. We would love for you to leave us a nice 5-star rating and review on Apple if you feel so inclined. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. DMs are open on all of those accounts. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number is 323-863-LOCK-5625. You can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a DM there anytime you want. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
And now, tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On MLB. Have a good one.
D. I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant?